Serious Suspect still in front of Shooting for Gold and King of Sparta. Serious Suspect broke clear. He's in front. Stage Man's getting out and charging late. Serious Suspect in front. He's a little ripper. He goes home and wins again.
Big team cheering in the Mount Yard and a very proud trainer in Sabasan front and centre. He joins us this morning. Congratulations, Sab.
Thanks, Warren. Thanks, listeners.
How did you feel about the horse going into yesterday? I remember when we were going into his previous run when he won a listed race down the straight. You were talking about just a little setback going into it. How was the path into yesterday?
Yeah, look, we gave him a week off, obviously, thinking that he was going to have a longer spell. And when I looked at the calendar, felt that this would be a likely target for him. And we cut his spell short. Plus, he was, you know, having a VIP spell, and he was just jumping out of his skin. And I put him back into work, and he was just the kid that rides in work, Mark Selvidge. He was just pulling his arms out. And, yeah, we gave him another 5 weeks' work or 4 weeks' work on top of that, and we just felt that maybe, just maybe, I had him a little bit too fresh. So I did something I normally don't do with him. I galloped him with a horse on Tuesday morning at Seymour, and that horse was Media Empire, and they went head-and-head all the way up the straight. That's why I thought Media Empire would be a good thing at Mull yesterday, but it was very unlucky to be beaten by a half a nose. So, yeah, probably on Tuesday when he pulled up, he just had a good blow, but it was wet conditions. It was heavy track. It's hard to get a gauge on heavy track sometimes. You know, you just think that maybe they're not fit, but maybe they're having more of a blow than because of the conditions. And but on Thursday, when I took him out for a pick and a walk and had a real good look at him, I felt, yeah, look, I've done as much as I possibly can, and he's gonna look really well in the yard. He's been clipped, and he put on weight. He looked strong. He had a lot of muscle definition, all in the right areas, and the chiropractors that go over him couldn't fold him. So yeah, it was all probably Friday morning. I was more confident than I was probably Tuesday after the gallop.
For those that haven't heard you previously, you talked about a VIP spell. Just take us through what's involved with a VIP spell with Sabasan.
Oh, basically, where we train from here now, to Bilk, we've got the facilities where we can still give horses a couple of acres or an acre, depending on, you know, if they're going to run around or not. But the barn's only 50 metres away, so they come into the barn, they go on the walker, they can go on the treadmill, they do a little bit of jogging on the treadmill. Then, you know, they don't have to have a saddle on, or they don't have to go and see a horse work on the track. And they go straight back out in the yard, and in the afternoon, same. They come in, get their feet picked out, they get dressed, they get handled. So they're still getting their massages, and, you know, they're still getting any vitamins and minerals and supplements. We're not just throwing them out and just giving them a paddock feed. And, yeah, they just thrive, because we mix all our own feed every night, and they get a wet mash every night, the old-fashioned way, that we're taught how to feed horses, and they still get all their vitamins and minerals. And I just find that you require less vet work, less maintenance work, so to speak, and they just get that TLC that every horse loves.
You mentioned a gallop with stablemate Media Empire, who was only narrowly beaten at Mowi. At the Seymour track, and I know you're an avid track walker. I know we're in the middle of winter, but can you give us an insight into how you're seeing the rebuild of the Seymour track?
Oh, they've done a fantastic job. Obviously, through probably no fault of their own, they've copped a lot of criticism, but I think they're back on track, Seymour. They're a fantastic club, and if Racing Victoria keeps pumping more money into there, I think they're going to be, you know, a pretty dangerous track in the future. Everyone's done a good job there. They're getting a lot of support from trainers, and the CEOs and all that. They're doing a wonderful job there. They're letting us on the grass 3 days a week. We pay a rebate to be on the grass, but we'd rather do that than probably gallop them on the poly tracks. You get a much, much better gauge. Most of my horses, all my horses gallop on grass. I don't gallop on poly. I'm anti-poly, but and come November when they open up their track, I think everyone's going to be quite impressed. And I think next year, you know, Seymour could be probably one of the best country tracks going.
You're managing the stables at both Flemington and Tobilk, and that takes a team effort, and you're always praising your team involved and behind the scenes. Yesterday, Strapping the Horse was a guy well known to many in racing in Doc, and if you go back through some archive footage, you can see Doc strapping Shiver's Revenge and other champions from the Bart Cummings stable in years gone by. I think sometimes we lose in racing just acknowledging the history that's there in some of the participants, and someone like Doc, I'm sure he strapped a few in the Ori Star. Must have been rewarding for him to be partnering up with you yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, and special mention also to Dennis Boucher, who strapped the horse for me. He's actually my maths teacher. He taught me at school, and we still remain friends. He's in his 70s, and he came down and strapped him when he won the listed races the start before, because Doc was away on that Saturday, so Dennis stepped in. So, and then Doc stepped in to help out. He knows the horse really well, Doc, and he stepped in to help out yesterday. So, you know, like, there's a lot that goes behind the scenes here, Warren. Like, you know, we've got two strappers, Dennis Belcher, Doc Watson. We've got two farriers, Sean Gray and John Urban, that look after him. Track riders, Mark Salvage, that rides him work. We got Sol Wilson that does his treadmill work for him. We've got two chiropractors, Fred Johnson and Kenny Butler. You know, my staff up here, Brendan Clements, that takes him for a pick. Johnny Morris that does all his massaging, you know, and gives him that extra 20 minutes. So there's a lot that goes behind the scenes. You often hear, you know, it's a team effort, but it actually really is. You're only as good as your staff. And with COVID the last couple of years, it's been hard to keep staff. And we've pumped an absolute fortune into just looking after these people and making sure that they're part of the family, they're part of the team, and they stay on board, and they have. And that's what's been probably a killer for us financially. But, you know, now we're starting to get benefits and rewards. We get more support from owners. We're selecting the horses that we want to train. And I think in the next couple of years, the future for us is going to be training out of Tobilk solely. And, I just think that, you know, we're only just scratching the surface at the moment.
$200,000 race yesterday. Sounds like you need to be winning the Everest to pay for the team associated with looking after Serious Suspect. What do you do with him now? He seems so effective down the straight, but he's not necessarily a one-trick pony. What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, funny you mentioned the Everest. I had three texts yesterday to say, would I run him in the Everest? But look, he's not a one-trick pony. I think you'll find that, you know, because I just keep learning more and more about the horse. He's an eight-year-old, and I know that I can just keep him kicking over now and not necessarily give him a break and a spell. And it doesn't matter if it's 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I know I can get him right, and he can go and run amazing times. Like yesterday, Ethan asked me, you know, what would I like in an ideal world? And I said, it's pretty simple. Ethan, break it down, first half 36, last half 33. I said, and you win. So Ethan could not have done a better job. I mean, if you look at the sectionals, that's exactly what they run. And he broke 110 on a rain affected track yesterday, which was a good gallop. Although it was a small field, it was a good bunch of horses there yesterday. You know, the horse from Brisbane goes quite good. He's a very smart galloper. Danny O'Brien's horse, I thought, was the biggest danger run second. King of Sparta, don't know if it backed up, but he ran a nice fourth. And I forget what run third, but he goes, yeah, that was the shooting to win. But you know, I think if we just keep him kicking over, will he be weighted out of the Testarossa? Maybe, I don't know. But maybe the Bobby Lewis in 5 weeks is the likely target. You also got the Chautauqua Stakes four weeks from now, which is probably ideal. I don't know if Mooney Valley will suit him as well. If it's a small field and he's able to roll in the first two, yes. But if it's a rain-affected track and chopped-up track, well, no. Just Flemington suits him because, not it just suits him, and it probably suits him better because he's happy to punch the breeze, Warren, do it tough, out in front, do his own thing. He doesn't need cover. He doesn't pull up the straight. He pulls harder on the sand track here than he does up the straight. I think Flemington, for that reason, is his track because it suits him being probably 1,400-metre horse sprinting well fresh up the straight 1,200.
You mentioned that he likes to get into his own rhythm and he doesn't necessarily need other horses around him. Yourself, Peter Ellis and Ethan Brown had a plan about where you wanted to be on the track. Just give us a little bit of an insight into the discussion that you have as a group after you've been out on the track and what you're looking for when you're looking for that ideal lane.
Yeah, well, so, So first of all, Peter Ellis and myself, we always talk Friday night, just while he's always doing his training. He's a very, very fit 70-year-old Pete. But and he just gives me a quick rundown on, you know, whether we're going to control the race or not. And then he goes out and walks the track first on his own. I go out and walk the track on my own. And then we compare notes. And generally, you know, well, he's taught me a lot. So generally, we tend to have an agreement. If we have two different ideas, he'll go and walk it again, I'll walk it again, and then he might say, look, I'm happy to be here for these reasons, and then we lock it in, Eddie, so to speak, and then we'll go and grab the jockey and say, look, we need you for 5 minutes, you need to go and walk the track with Peter Ellis. This is a section that we've identified as the best part of the track. This is a section that we're happy to be winning in or getting beaten. And then we go and pre-race before we throw the jockey on. We tell the owners what we're doing, so everyone's all in the loop. They're not thinking, oh, why'd you pick this part or that part? You should have gone in and gone there. And everyone's in the loop. And then everyone has to just cop it sweet. We're not always going to get it right. But 95% of the time, we know what part's the best. And we identified 2 metres of lane there yesterday. And Mark Zara was on it with that horse. He drew barrier 3 and got to that park. And Campbell Raw Wheeler was on it, and they ran 1-2, and we knew that was the best part. And then people go and walk the track again because they do change, and we'll confirm that was the right part. And Ethan already knew that anyway. He's been well tutored, well schooled. Best part about Ethan is he's prepared to listen. He doesn't just treat, you know, Peter Ellis and myself with disrespect. He respects us and respects our opinion. We can't tell him how to ride the horse. He's got to ride it. He's got to work it all out. But we can only give him our insight, and then it's up to him to make up the final call because he's on the horse's back. We don't lock him down the instructions. We just tell him exactly how we've seen it. When he won the listed race, Ethan was adamant he wanted to go up the middle, and I said, no, that's not the place to be. Peter Ellis and I are 100% adamant you've got to go to the inside. And he listened, and he won the race. And after the race, he said, Saab, dude, I'm glad I went back out there and walked the track again because it had changed. So, yeah, you're always learning, Warren, and I think if you've got a jockey prepared to listen to you, it just makes your job a lot easier.
All the work and preparations paying dividends. Congratulations on the win in the Ori Star yesterday.
Thanks, Warren.